Get ready for Sharon Hughes. Saying it like it is.
There are those with evil intent to grind down America, to grind down the church, to grind down the family with lies.
The following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
I believe we, and particularly you, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
Bringing you familiar guests on important issues such as immigration, education, the Middle East, culture, religion, and the changing world views of Americans and the world.
For such a time as this.
Freeing the minds of the brainwashed masses.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in as we look at our world that is changing. And today on the show,
the next decades will see the greatest industrial transformation of our times. And those who develop and manufacture the technology that will be the foundation of tomorrow's economy will have the greatest competitive edge.
What you see with technology a lot is it's gradual and then sudden. The focus has to be, which is a big part of what we do, is how do you get the adoption? And that's what we're working on in many of these cases. When you think about the big mega trends, you know, whether it's metaverse or cloud or AI, it's adoption.
Their slogan, by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy.
A big reason why these sorts of technologies become necessary to compete is because the technology corporations and those who lean towards these sort of transhumanist worldviews, they are ultimately trying to change the entire sort of ecosystem, so to speak, that we live in. They are trying to replace the previous organic human way of life and replace that environment with a new, entirely digitized, entirely technological way of life.
Rather than a mouse or a keyboard, you can simply swipe with your mind. While we can't literally decode complex thought just yet, there's a lot that we can already decode that's quite relevant for the workplace environment.
The Jasons, who are the most prestigious scientific body in the world that offers advice to the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, they say this is the new arms race and we have to get ahead of it. Whether our ethicists tell us that it's a bad idea, we have to do it, otherwise we are going to be dominated by these new forms of human in the near future.
As you can tell from those clips, we have some very intriguing things, but extremely important things to talk about on today's show. If you've been with me all month, we've been talking about occupying. And what that really means is territory that has been taken, and from our point of view, taken for good. We need to occupy that land and hold on to it, not let go of it. And what are we talking about? We're talking about freedoms. And not just here in America, but around the world. As you heard in those clips, there are those, the globalists, those who want a world government, and they have to have it by tearing down national boundaries, national borders, national patriotism, as well as initiating, throwing the carrot out there of all these things going to help make your business millions of dollars or billions of dollars. You can be on the cutting edge of the latest technology and, yeah, a good sales job. But what's the truth behind all of it? Today, we're going to talk about what has been going on at Davos, the World Economic Forum. You heard some clips. I've got a lot I want to play for you so you can hear for yourself what is the globalist agenda, what they not only have planned, but what their worldview is and why. This is important information, ladies and gentlemen, because in the long run and in the short term, this, all of this, will affect every single one of us. And I'm not joking.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, coming to you from the Sierra Nevada foothills of California. A conservative Christian talk show host in California? You bet.
Jordan, I think I'm pregnant.
Are you sure? Man, we've really messed up. What about an abortion?
I'm not killing our child.
Abortion may seem like the quick solution, but an unwanted pregnancy doesn't mean an unwanted child. There are thousands of childless couples that long for a baby. Adoption is the best option. Contact your Crisis Pregnancy Center if you or someone you know has had this conversation. A message from the Christian Medical Association.
GFM for gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is actually turmeric, which is considered the gold spice. Frankincense, which is boswellia, and myrrh, a premier product to help address joint pain, but other pain, and to address the immune system, and lots more.
This is Gail from California, and it seems like before I started taking Aloe Apex and the GFM, it was like walking uphill. Everything seemed to be an effort, and about 2 weeks after I started taking it, I noticed I was moving faster, had more energy, was doing stuff, and it was just like, wow. And then after about a month, it really started kicking in, and I was just so happy.
And if you go to apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can get a 25% discount. Or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433.
You're listening to The Sharon Hughes Show. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Just follow the links at the bottom of the page at changingworldviews.com.
Okay, so today as we talk about occupying our freedoms, holding on to our freedoms, not giving up the territory taken by God-fearing pilgrims when they came and dedicated this land for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth throughout the whole world and did for decades and decades up until late. But not just America, but the world. As I said, there are, and this isn't tinfoil hat conspiracies, this is really happening. That's why I like to play clips so that you can hear it and connect the dots for yourself. So we're going to take a good look at what's been happening at the World Economic Forum 2023 in Davos, Switzerland. But let me just, for those that may not know, give you just a brief definition off of their own website of what their goals are, who they are, what their agenda is. Basically, their mission is stated as, quote, committed to improving the state of the world by engaging business, political, academic, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas. They host an annual meeting every year at the end of January in Davos, which is a mountain resort in the Alps of Switzerland. Now, the World Economic Forum is the international organization for public-private cooperation. It engages the foremost political, business, cultural, and other leaders to help shape global, regional, and industry agendas. It was established in 1971 as a not-for-profit foundation headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland, and they claim that they're independent, impartial, and not tied to any special interests. Well, that certainly is up for debate. They go on to say that the forum, the World Economic Forum, strives in all its efforts, I'm reading here, to demonstrate entrepreneurship in the global public interest while upholding the highest standards of governance. Moral and intellectual integrity, they say, is at the heart of everything it does. They say that our activities are shaped by a unique institutional culture founded on the stakeholder theory. Now, if you didn't catch my shows on this, I encourage you to go to changingworldviews.com and look in the archives for SEG. That's what the whole stakeholder theory is about. Environmental, social, and governance, ESG, and how they're using that to shape businesses and corporations, and I'm going to say coerce them so that stakeholders or shareholders will invest in them. This is true. They're bringing together all of those spheres of society with promises of great success financially and in every other way by following their agendas. Well, if you've followed the World Economic Forum for any time, you know that it is basically for global governance. They believe that's the best way that national governments, national countries that care for its own people is not the way to go. But now, as you heard in some of those clips, they have moved rapidly towards a transhumanist worldview. And I think you'll find that to be true by the time our show is over. At the opening of the ceremony for this year, 2023, Klaus Schwab, who is the founder of the World Economic Forum, said,
"A very cordial welcome to the annual meeting 2023. We couldn't meet at a more challenging time. We are confronted with so many crises simultaneously. What does it need to master the future? I think to have a platform where all stakeholders of global society are engaged. Governments, business, civil societies, the young generation, and I could go on, I think is a first step to meet all the challenges."
So there's a lot that went on, but I want to really focus in on the carrot of AI or artificial intelligence being put out to corporations to have the cutting edge so they can be successful. And the clip here I want to play is with Klaus Schwab and Satya Nadella, who is CEO of Microsoft. And just listen to what they say.
"And it seems when we look at the fourth industrial revolution, that now in technological development, when you look at the S-curve, we are really at the point where we have the exponential development."
Where are we on the S-curve? I sort of think about it as there's one S-curve where we are at the tip, where it's now about deployment, diffusion, mainstream. And then we now have an emergence of a completely new set of technology, which I think is going to be a revolutionary. Things we think a lot about is how to deploy this technology to empower human beings to do more. The internet maybe took 30 years, maybe the cloud and mobile took 15 years, and now I think we're talking months. I think that the AI piece and this particular generation of AI is showing that type of, I would say, platform shift. We started the work with OpenAI, I would say, 3.5 years ago, when we started building the AI supercomputer in Azure to train these large models. And when you look at GPT-3 to 3.5 to what's coming, these are non-linear developments. So they're showing emergent capability. The fact is that these things by themselves are becoming platforms that I think truly can make a difference.
Okay, when we get back from this break, we're going to look at what was said, especially as it regards to AI or artificial intelligence, and what this will mean to all of us as a nation and as individuals. So stay with me.
Coming to you from the Sierra Nevada foothills of Northern California, you're listening to Sharon Hughes, Saying It Like It Is.
Modern slaves can be hard to spot. Demand for cheap goods, cheap labor, and cheap sex has created the perfect storm for human trafficking. In the UK, it's estimated there are nearly 13,000 women and men being forced into a life they didn't ask for, with more people being discovered every day. You probably come into contact with them without ever realizing. There can be some telltale signs, though. Sometimes they might be physical. They look uneasy, unkempt, or malnourished, or have untreated injuries. Sometimes the signs can be less obvious. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So please help us help them. If you suspect slavery is happening, contact the Modern Slavery Line. Or if a victim needs support, call the Salvation Army and play a part to help stamp it out.
People are really wanting to know what the future holds and wanting to know where are we in history. With all the events, many are wondering, are we in the end of the age? And so to help our listeners for this month's special, a New Year special, Books for the End Times. As a matter of fact, you can get two books for the price of one, such as Thomas Horne's The Wormwood Prophecy, talking about NASA predicting an asteroid to hit the Earth in the year 2029.
"The asteroid is 100% certain to strike Earth, according to one space expert who says this is a matter of life and death."
Also, a book by Carl Gallup's Gods of the Final Kingdom, and many more. We will pick from our stock of books that help us understand where we are in the day in which we live. For a donation of $25, you get two books. You can send your check to Changing World Views, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924, or order online at our website at changingworldviews.com on the store or donate page.
the time to change course is now. We don't have any more time. Because these patents, they've been filed years ago, decades ago. They've been preparing for this very moment in time.
Thanks for staying with me. We're looking today at the World Economic Forum and their plans and agendas and panels and discussions that they had, particularly focusing in on what they were saying about AI or artificial intelligence. And one of the panels talking about Meta Constellation, quote, allows you to use algorithms on large databases to hone in on adversaries over a whole country. Alan Karp, who's CEO of Planetar, is very bold in talking about that. Here, take a listen.
It was Peter's idea. Peter Thiel, very famous, and co-founder of Palantir. So we got this investment from Incatel, which has always been controversial. It's a really small investment.
You got some software. It was sold to the Pentagon and or CIA.
It was sold. Yeah, the Incatel gave us three pilots, one with the FBI, one with the agency, and one with a more classified part of the DOD, because they were struggling with finding out where terrorists were putting improvised explosives. And we figured that out in our product. By the way, and now it's not just American clandestine services. Probably the clandestine service, almost every, if you're in a Western country, it's your country as well, whether they tell you that or not. We want people who want to be on the side of the West, making the West a better societies, more able to defend themselves, protect data protection, and that's not for everyone. We have a product that is not well known called Meta Constellation, and that product allows you to use algorithms on large data sets to hone in on adversaries over, say, for example, a whole country. And the integration of data from the infusion of data from satellite, telephones, other sources, classified sources, and then the disambiguation of that so people only see what they are allowed to see on the battlefield. The Ukrainians, then we were asked if we were willing to supply our product philanthropically, basically for free. And I was very in favor of this because our primary mission is, in fact, to set a global standard for the world for behavior. The product then allowed them to do targeting with a factor of 20 better. The U.S. government has our software,
okay,
and uses it very aggressively.
And here's a clip where on this World Economic Forum panel insists that the metaverse is only just the beginning. Take a listen.
The Global Collaboration Village, which is an exciting project in the metaverse.
I think we're seeing it almost take off in the industrial space faster than anywhere else. People need to collaborate when they're on a factory floor to, you know, repair machinery. And you know, we've been embarked for, frankly, decades on a path where we've been able to collaborate more closely with new technologies. And we're seeing this, you know, obviously accelerate as a result of the pandemic. We all became accustomed to interacting through video. The metaverse is another and the next dimension to this. This particular project, in our view, is of enormous importance for the world because of the role that the World Economic Forum plays in the world. This is an opportunity to create a village without borders. Our aspiration now in 2023 is to take this from what we call private preview to what we'll call, what we always call in our industry, GA, or general availability.
Yeah, one of the things they said is that AI, that there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of power to be gained by upending human life. Hold on, because that'll be explained. Just stay with me. And let me just say that this fourth industrial revolution, from what they describe of all these global elitists and big mucky mucks like Microsoft and so forth, quote, the convergence of the physical, digital, biological worlds. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with Joe Allen, JoeBot.xyz. He follows what's going on in the whole digital transhumanist world. And he was talking recently about how transhumanists hope to replace our known anthropological structures with ones that force everyone to, quote unquote, worship the transhumanist religion or be left behind. Here's some of what he had to say.
whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it is bioengineering, especially engineering your own body, whether it is metaverse technologies or other forms of sort of sensory or mental augmentation, the argument made again and again, whether it's Elon Musk, whether it's Joe Rogan, whether it's Ray Kurzweil, Ben Goetzel, Hugo de Garis, any of these, you know, people on the kind of transhumanism wavelength, they all make the argument that those people in the long run, over the next 10, 20, 30 years, those people who do not adopt and employ these technologies will be left behind. You will not be able to compete because the people who do adopt them will be superior to you. They'll get the better jobs. They'll be better on the battlefield, so on and so forth. A big part, a big reason why these sorts of technologies become necessary to compete with neighbors is because the technology corporations and those who lean towards these sort of transhumanist worldviews, they are ultimately trying to change the entire sort of ecosystem, so to speak, that we live in. They are trying to replace the previous 250,000 year in the making organic human way of life and replace that environment with a new, entirely digitized, entirely technological way of life. And so, yes, of course, at the end of that, that process actually seep into every aspect of society, then of course you're not going to be able to compete because those are the new rules of the game. And I think that's an important point to remember, that they are transforming the world in a way that forces you to adopt these sorts of things in order to become or to be a part of society. And you see that with digital currency, that's coming down the pike.
And as you heard in the opening clips, one of the biggest challenges they face is getting these ideas adopted. In other words, for us to be able to accept them, for us to be able to swallow it, for us to be able to get excited about it, for us to buy what they are selling. Derek Gilbert of Skywatch TV has a show called 5 in 10, and this week he talked about mastering the future, what was going on at the World Economic Forum, and here's just some of what he had to say about that.
This week, of course, the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. Klaus Schwab declaring that I will master the future. You can't make this stuff up, but that's exactly what he said. Now, Mr. Schwab is 85 years old, so I think he's about to find out very soon that, in fact, the future belongs to the Lord, but I digress. Schwab clearly has a God complex, and he's surrounded by people who likewise believe that they and they alone have the right to tell the rest of us how to live. They've been spending this week in Davos brainstorming ideas along those lines, except they're going to find out, are already finding out, which is causing a lot of stress and angst at this year's meeting, reportedly, that the BRICS plus nations, specifically Russia, China, India, perhaps Iran as part of this axis, have other ideas. They do not plan to go along with the vision of the World Economic Forum for the future. 70% of the world, roughly, rejects the idea being pushed by the WEF that the family is anything but patrilineal. In other words, a man and a woman headed up by a father, and this does not mean we dominate our families, but I'm talking about the biblical definition of a husband who loves his wife sacrificially, Ephesians 5, but this is based on the biological reality of separate but complementary gender roles. Most of the world buys into that. We Christians in America who accept that as God's design for the family, we're in the minority here in the West. But the World Economic Forum, if they think they're going to push this on the Global South and on Russia, China, India, they're sadly deceived. Anyway, that's not to say that these guys are going to make our lives any easier here in the West as they continue to pursue their agenda of fundamentally restructuring the world by the year 2030. It is their mission, they see it, to make sure that by 2030 you will own nothing, you'll live in a low-energy, high-density, low-privacy city, eating bugs instead of beef, and using only their approved digital currency that you can only spend on approved things with approved vendors. But again, they're beginning to realize that a growing number of us are onto their agenda, that what the media tried to pass off as conspiracy theory, for example, BBC's headline, "What is the Great Reset and how was it hijacked by conspiracy theorists?" Well, it's hard to keep up that meme when you can go to the World Economic Forum's website and see that they actually do want us to eat insects. Five reasons eating insect protein is better than meat. World Economic Forum is going back and scrubbing some of the more outrageous parts of their plan. It's not that they're changing their plan, they just don't want us to know about it. Here's the other thing, though, and I think from a bigger, looking bigger picture as a Christian, organizations like the World Economic Forum, the Bilderberg Group, they are red herrings. They are red herrings in the supernatural conflict in which we are all deployed. Principalities and powers, cosmic rulers over our present darkness, spiritual wickedness in the high places. That's who the Apostle Paul told us we really contend with.
And when we get back from this break, I want to zero in on this whole idea of the transhumanism that is behind a lot of this. Those who are transhumanists believe that the next level of evolution is the combining of humans and machine. Dr. Tom Horn is going to talk about that. Let me just go into break reading what Martine Rothblatt, who founded a, quote, transhumanist religion, Terrasim, which holds that, quote, death is optional and God is technological. Listen to this. Rothblatt, a lawyer with a PhD in medical ethics, whom New York Magazine dubbed as the trans everything CEO. That isn't only because she changed her gender from male to female in midlife, as she wrote about in her book, From Transgender to Transhuman. She's also a prolific, quote unquote, philosopher on the ethics of the future who has advocated civil rights for computer programs. That's right, civil rights for computer programs. And founded a transhumanist religion, Terrasim, which holds that, quote, death is optional and God is technological. She's clearly a frank proponent of human immortality, whether it's achieved by creating software versions of living people or perhaps by replacing their organs as they age. It's like a science fiction movie, right? But no, and it's certainly not, as I said, tinfoil conspiracy. This is going on right now, as you, I hope, are convinced is true by the clips that we've already played. When we come back, Dr. Tom Horn on transhumanism that will help us see even more clearly what that looks like, what the agenda is. Stay with me.
Employees are already having their brainwave activity monitored to test for their fatigue levels.
Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes, heard on stations and around the world online.
This station would never air a word like, but if I had really said, you'd probably want to call in and make your voice heard. Think about that, making a difference over one little word. If that's the case, what's keeping you from becoming a voice for the preborn? Surely their plight is more important compared to a word. So if you're ready to make your voice heard, visit beavoice.net and get involved. After all, it's not that first beep we're concerned about. It's this one.
Alive again, the breakthrough world-class aloe vera wellness drink with proven health benefits and life-changing testimonies to match.
Hi, my name is Catherine, and I'm a cancer survivor. I started taking this amazing product during my chemo treatments, and it gave me remarkable energy. To my excitement, my chemo treatments were stopped early. This product will continue to be part of my daily life. I would like to thank God and the people who created Alive Again, because I truly am alive again. Thank you.
Alive Again is the result of decades of studies and was developed by one of the founding members of the International Aloe Science Council. Alive Again provides a healthy, natural, antioxidant-rich, great-tasting, super fruit drink.
And special for our Changing Worldviews listeners, that if you would like to get Alive Again for a 20% discount, just go to apexhealth.life/Sharon, again, apexhealth.life/Sharon, or call 833-334-5433, 833-334-5433. Okay, for this week's health tip, the perfect time to evaluate your diet and ask yourself, is my body getting all the vitamins and nutrients it needs? If your diet isn't perfect, you're not alone, because eating enough of the right foods to satisfy your needs is tricky. And might I just say that Aloe Apex, that you just heard the ad from, increases the absorption of vitamins in your body, especially vitamin C and vitamin E, as much as 300%. So it basically helps you get the nutrients out of the food you eat. But there's a website, the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, that has choosemyplate.gov. And they've got health tips there that you might want to check out. So go to choosemyplate.gov if you want to see their suggestions options for what a healthy plate looks like.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes, bringing you the best on faith, family, and freedom.
Okay, so we're doing a broad overview of what took place at the World Economic Forum, particularly as it zeroed in on AI or artificial intelligence. We know that big corporations like Microsoft are jumping on board because obviously they want their companies to continue to grow, and they are so technologically or digitally minded that, you know, all advances are seen as great for people. Take a listen to what Nita Farahany said as regards to what those at the World Economic Forum think is good for humans.
Artificial intelligence has enabled advances in decoding brain activity in ways that we never before thought possible. After all, what you think, what you feel, it's all just data. Data that in large patterns can be decoded using artificial intelligence. We're not talking about implanted devices of the future. I'm talking about wearable devices that are like Fitbits for your brain. Earbuds, headphones, tiny tattoos that you can wear behind your ear. We can pick up emotional states, like are you happy or sad or angry? We can pick up and decode faces that you're seeing in your mind. Simple shapes, numbers, your PIN number to your bank account. Meta acquired this company, Control Labs, in 2019 because major tech companies are investing in helping to make these devices universally applicable as the way in which we interact with the rest of our technology. In fact, the coming future, and I mean near-term future, is these devices being the primary way in which we interact with all of the rest of our technology. Rather than a mouse or a keyboard, you can simply swipe with your mind. While we can't literally decode complex thought just yet, there's a lot that we can already decode that's quite relevant for the workplace environment. In more than 5,000 companies across the world, employees are already having their brainwave activity monitored to test for their fatigue levels. Whether it's the Beijing-Shanghai line, where train conductors are required to wear hats that have sensors that pick up their brain activity, or mining companies throughout the world, employees are already having their brain activity monitored, and it very well may be something that we want to embrace as a society.
Wow. Well, there you have it. Dr. Thomas Horn, a researcher, author, publisher on all things cutting edge of what's happening in our world today, talked to those on The Green Room on Daystar Television and said this.
You know, transhumanism is really this big idea that we now have it within our hands to use very powerful fields of technology to take mankind into the next step in our evolution. Genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, synthetic biology, neuropharmacology, a bunch of stuff that ends with the phraseology. We're going to use that to transform and enhance humanity. Last week, the Chinese, our own director of national intelligence was interviewed, and he said, we have solid information that the Chinese are biologically enhancing their soldiers for battlefield performance. France 2 days ago said we're going to follow China's lead on this, and we also are going to be committing money to biologically enhancing. But we also know, by the way, we've been doing this in the United States for probably 20 years. In the last 10 years, there hasn't been a single approved federal funding budget for DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that didn't include money for biologically enhancing our soldiers. So they're already doing the testing, at least in the blueprint. The darling of this right now is called BMI, Brain Machine Interface. Yeah. By the way, just in case you want to use it, I brought a implantable microchip kit. Wow. That if you put this under your skin and then programmed it through your computer, you'd be able to open your house by thought alone. You'd be able to start your car. You can do all kinds of things.
Wow.
Few people in the world have this that are in the scientific community, and that's actually a CRISPR, a gene knockout kit. The two of the Nobel Prize winners this year are the ones who won Nobel Prize for designing CRISPR-Cas9 technology.
What is a gene knockout kit?
Oh, it's CRISPR is like, think of it as a high-tech pair of scissors.
Okay.
But what it does is it allows you, this has both parts of the gene knockout kit. There's one part of it, it's a chemical synthesis that allows you to target a certain place in a DNA strand. So let's say you have mutagenic, something's going on, you're developing cancer. They can literally take this, go to that DNA strand and cut out that bad information.
Wow.
And then use the other part of the chemicals to butt seam that DNA back together, and voila, we just got rid of your cancer.
Wow.
In Israel, right now, scientists are having 100% success rate in lab animals curing cancer using CRISPR-Cas9. So it's great, right? There's a lot of good going to come out of it. But you can also make what is called germline modifications to any living species with CRISPR technology and what is called gene drive technology, which means you could create a version of humanity that has germline level changes that will be passed forward into every preceding generation, which will allow you to drive out of existence any previous form of a life, a human, an animal, or whatever, and replace it with a new version that you have created through genetic engineering. So this right here, this represents, and these little vials, they represent a technology that I don't think has existed since the day of the Watchers, when all flesh became corrupt.
Right.
When animals and mankind both were modified in a way that everything being born downline was changed in the way that the Watchers wanted. Now, why did they do that? Some people believe they were trying to stop the birth line of the Messiah.
Yes.
They actually believed in the what's called the proto-evangelium, the pre-preaching of the coming of the Messiah that would crush the head of the serpent, right? And so how would they stop that from happening? By making humans inhuman, making them something that God did not make, and then the bloodline couldn't be preserved for the birth of the Messiah. Anyway, this is where we are today. Human-animal chimeras being created in laboratories all around the world, including in the United States, tens of thousands of laboratories. Models are being made. And the big question of, are we also going to use animal material integrated with humans, not just for pharmaceutical purposes, right, like they're doing today, which is mostly what's driving it. But do we imagine that we can make humans entirely something different? Is that what China is doing now? We have intelligence that says this is true. And the Jasons, who are the most prestigious scientific body in the world that offers advice to the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, they say this is the new arms race.
Wow.
That in the same way that America competed with the old Soviet Union during the Cold War for nuclear supremacy, this is it, and we have to get ahead of it, whether we like it or not, whether our ethicists tell us that it's a bad idea, we have to do it, otherwise we are going to be dominated by these new forms of human in the near future.
Stay with me one more break, and then I want to wrap it up talking about the unsinkable ship as regards to all that we talked about today. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
Jesus Christ was beaten, mocked, and misunderstood. He endured the cross and despised the shame. Though the King of Kings, he was persecuted and died for our sake.
In this world we will face tribulation, but you promise you'll be right here with us.
And he said to his followers, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And to this day, all over the world, they still do. But Jesus promised more, that those who suffer for his name's sake would not be forgotten, not by God, and not by the family of God. The Voice of the Martyrs was founded by a persecuted Christian as well. Richard Wurmbrand reached out for Christ to the Nazis in the early 1940s when they came into his native Romania. He felt a calling to reach out to atheists for Christ. He prayed for opportunities to share Christ with the Russians as well. And when the Soviet communists entered into Romania in 1944, they came right to his doorstep. Richard boldly witnessed to them as well. And just as Jesus promised, they hated him for it. He was arrested and sent to prison for a total of 14 years, often in solitary confinement, often tortured. Through it all, he held on to his love for God and committed to witness for Christ in word and deed, even to his torturers. In 1967, Richard, now free from jail and out of Romania, founded an organization committed to sharing the stories of others who, like him, were being jailed, persecuted, tortured, or killed for their faith. That organization is committed to stand with their persecuted family by saying, "We will not let them suffer in silence. We will not let them serve alone." That organization, the Voice of the Martyrs.
My name is Marcia. I'm from Long Beach, California. I heard about Aloe Apex and I was interested, but I was sort of skeptic because I had had a problem with my leaky gut, migraines, and chronic arthritis in my lower back for many, many, many years. And I had tried everything, just like everybody always says, and nothing helped. And I tried Aloe Apex thinking about my leaky gut issues only. But to my surprise, I started to notice that the nagging, aching, pulling pain that was in my lower back had really lightened up considerably. Not only that, but I also noticed my migraines have lightened up. I wanted to call and tell you thank you so much. I finally found something that works, and I am so very grateful to Apex Health.
And if you go to Apex Health, apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can order your first bottle or bottles of Aloe Apex at the special introductory price of $29.95 or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433 using the promo code Sharon Special.
You are listening to the sound of the heartbeat of an unborn baby just 28 days after conception. Every day, more than 3,000 abortions are performed in this country, and each abortion stops the heartbeat of a living unborn baby. Since 1973, the annual number of abortions has gone from approximately 750,000 a year to just under 1.3 million. Abortion isn't rare or safe, only legal. Legalized abortion on demand has taken the lives of more than 50 million unborn children and left those women who have had abortions more vulnerable to physical, mental, and emotional complications. We at National Right to Life are working to break this cycle. We are working for the day when both mother and child will be welcomed, loved, and protected. Won't you help us? This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, nrlc.org.
Unafraid to challenge the politically correct status quo, you can trust Sharon to drop the plumb line of truth.
I think we could summarize it in one sentence, in the sense that their utopia is our dystopia. And the world that they have prepared for us is so bleak, it would rip us from any form of human dignity, which is why I want to make it very clear. I am a human being, not a QR code. And we are all human beings, not QR codes. The Deputy Prime Minister of Ukraine, Mikhail Fedorov, put on his Twitter page last year about Ukraine 2030 and the digitization of the entire society and all services of the government. And coming back to what Tony Blair said, the digitization of the infrastructure of healthcare. Healthcare, again, like I mentioned with climate change, is just another Trojan horse. They're using all these pretexts to push society to adopt this digitization. And we have to, I mean, this is happening now. The time to change course is now. We don't have any more time. Because as Joe Allen mentioned, these patents, they've been filed years ago, decades ago. They've been preparing for this very moment in time.
That last clip was Nora bin Laden in Geneva reporting about what was going on in Davos this year.
Okay.
If I were to wrap all this up, I would like to promote the book of the month that we're reading for our book club, and it's Last Day's Survival Guide, a scriptural handbook to prepare you for these perilous times by Rick Renner, Last Day Survival Guide. It's not about prepping and getting food and all that. That's not the focus. The focus of the book is so you can get your heart and your mind and your soul prepared so you can stand strong for the things that are coming, for the things that we're even seeing happening in our world today. It is a great book. And then I just want to wrap it up with this. You know, another New York Times bestselling author, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, in his newsletter talked about what makes a ship unsinkable. And of course, what do we think of when we think of that? We think of the Titanic, right? And many, including myself, we've used that as an example of a nation sinking and the people on the ship unaware of what was going on. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. At least in America, more and more people are becoming aware, not just of what is happening, but why and what the causes are. But Rabbi Cahn talks about an American preacher who was visiting Belfast and was scheduled to preach in a church which had lost 16 of its members on the unsinkable ship. That's what it was called, what it was known for, the Titanic. It wasn't supposed to sink. And it was a week after the tragedy, and the church was filled with lords and bishops and ministers of all denominations, and the audience was filled with newly made widows and orphans sobbing, and the sermon was called The Unsinkable Ship. The pastor, the preacher, wasn't talking about the Titanic. He was talking about a much smaller, much frailer, and even much more humble ship that sailed the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. Can you think of the story of the disciples of Jesus on their little boat, and the storms came, and Jesus was in the boat with them, and he was asleep, and they woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we're in danger?" And of course, Jesus got up, and he calmed the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And so this preacher, preaching in Belfast, said that that was the unsinkable ship, not because of its construction, but because Jesus was in it. Creator of heaven and earth, Lord over land and sea, master over the storms and over the waves. It's because he was in the boat that the boat didn't sink. You know, those of us that acknowledge that America was, at one point, the greatest nation on the earth. It thrived in every way, morally, economically, every way, because this nation was dedicated and then founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, on faith in God and in the freedoms that God gives that government can't take away. That's what made America the greatest nation on earth. But as we have moved away from that, even kicked God out of our schools and everything else, our nation, our ship, is in danger of sinking like the Titanic. But she hasn't sunk yet, and things can be done to turn this ship in the right direction so we don't sink. That is what's going to make a difference in our nation. Turning our ship back to God, back to Jesus Christ, back to the one that can make this ship unsinkable again. That is my hope. That is my prayer. And to that end, I'm going to close out with a favorite song. It's by David Phelps, and it's talking about the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning. It's to encourage you.
The other day, just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about, so I settled back in my seat. A bestseller, I said, a history and mystery in one. Then I opened up the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem.
Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. That's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, a made-out tales, just to help the weak to survive. Well, let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. The beginning, he said with a smile. What more could there be? He's dead. You said they hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said I'll read it again, but this time there's more. And I believe that this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this for you. One holy night in the little town of Bethlehem, all the angels singing praises to the great I am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see. And did you know that God could be a friend? And though he never did a single thing wrong, he was the one the crowd chose. And then he walked and he died. But 3 days later, 3 days later, he rose. 3 days later, he rose. And he died, but that was the end of the beginning.
I hope that you will support our sponsors and take advantage of our special offer in order to help us stay on the air and to be able to reach more people with the truth. Again, our special offer, just go to changingworldviews.com and click on special offer on the donate page. You can also take advantage of our website by signing up for our newsletter. And also you can follow us. We're now on Getter, that's G-E-T-T-R. We're on Gab. We're on Telegram as well as Facebook and Twitter and much more. ChangingWorldviews.com. Well, that's it for now. I look forward to our next time together. And until then, I encourage you, stand strong. This is Sharon Hughes from California, saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.